Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
A good Tuesday morning. Welcome in Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. Daniel, how are you?
I'm good, my friend. I hear you. Which, A, is good. It's, we all never take it for granted during these satellite location-type shows. But because I hear you, I assume that you acquired a power cord to go with your little Comrex unit that somehow, little engine that could, made it through the show yesterday. So I've got to ask, where are you broadcasting from today, my friend?
Well, your boy is still in Cape Charles, Virginia.
Hey!
I did not come home last night. All right? I didn't leave vacation.
Wow.
The plan is that your boy's going to be broadcasting with a power cord that is not yet here. So here's what's amazing about this situation. I'm going to check right now. We're still, at this moment, operating on the power that didn't die yesterday. Okay?
That's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
Everybody thought my Comrex was going to crap out at about 105, 122, 137. It got us through the show. So the plan is this. As we await the power cord being delivered to my location in Cape Charles, on the Chesapeake Bay. I'm looking out at the water right now, which looks beautiful, glistening in the sun. Got a nice window I'm broadcasting from, kind of like a sunroom upstairs in the house at the in-laws.
Uh-huh.
So what's going to happen, Danny, is this wire is supposed to be delivered here sometime this morning. The Comrex will die before that, very likely, unless this amazing Comrex just has the lives of a cat and it just keeps going and going. But thanks to the very hard work of Drab T-Shirt Cahill and a couple of our engineers, I've got a backup plan, which is an app that I downloaded for $30, although we downloaded it on the wrong phones, then I downloaded it on another phone for another $30, but that's not a big deal. It's a small price to pay to broadcast. So I've got an app that I'll use to join you when the Comrex dies before the wire gets here. So this is an all-hands-on-deck kind of scenario at this point.
That sounds like something. That sounds like something. The app that we're going to use if and when the Comrex runs out of batteries thing is something that sounds good in theory. And that's one of those things that like a technically savvy person would just have no problem with. But that's not us. Are you nervous about that at all? I'm a little bit nervous about that.
I'm not nervous. There was a lot of consternation. There was a lot of kind of signing up for it and going through the rigors of the process yesterday. Drabby has done this with other people. Other folks at the station have used this thing in the past, I guess. I don't know that the design is necessarily to do a four-hour show with it. So here's the hope. The Comrex gives us more segments than we're expecting. I mean, I could die mid-sentence right now, and then you just kind of run until I get this app set up. But if this thing gives us a few segments, and then the FedEx guy shows up with the wire at this kind of fairly obscure Watertown location that I'm in, then all is well with the world. But this is really an experiment, if nothing else, about how great a system we have for getting mail delivered and overnighted from yesterday at about noon in Washington, D.C. to today,
amazing.
A few hours away.
And then sometimes it takes like 15 days and I don't get it. Like I never quite get it. I'm always amazed. Like, people that know the mail laugh at me. People that know stuff laugh at me all the time, but where it's like they know all the different terms of like, is that a 2-day certified? No, that's a next day guaranteed. No, that's an underwritten signature required 4-day overnight, but it's ground. Like I'm always so surprised. I'm like, what I would like is to give this to you and have it get to where I wrote down on the front of it. let's do that. Let's do that. What's the simplest way to do that? But one of them costs $39. The other costs the normal $1.25, like when you put it in the mailbox or whatever. I don't know, man. It's a great big mystery to me. I'm afraid of it. But when it comes through for my guy, Grant Paulson, we'll be excited. This cord situation.
I'm always amazed. I don't know when the last time I've had the reaction you're talking about where you're frustrated or disappointed with the mailing system. I got to be honest. Like, to me, the whole thing is incredible. That I can just put a letter in the mail and a couple days later across the country somebody's reading it. I think that's staggering and wonderful. I've always kind of been taken aback by it. I guess I've had luck, but I haven't really had that many issues. Now,
well, I just don't get
example.
It. Yeah, I just don't get it. In other words, like when people just go to the FedEx store or the postal service. Or it, to me, it is like, what, you know how you feel when you go to Starbucks and everyone's using the language and you don't like it at all? That's how I feel. And I shouldn't feel that way as a 40-year-old dude in our society because mail has been ubiquitous my whole life. It's very intimidating to me. And people seem to know what they're doing, and they have no patience for rubes like me. I guess that's my only point.
Yeah, I'm certainly not comfortable there by any means. And when I get in line, I don't know where do I pay for things and what type of envelope does this go in and how do I package this. I get what you're saying. But, yeah, I think we've won as a society. We've kind of conquered. If Tom Shedlick, our engineer in D.C., can put a power cord in a box somewhere in D.C. yesterday, and then today at, like, hopefully 11:30 in the morning, although we'll knock on wood when I say that, this wire just shows up here, I think that's nuts. That makes no sense to me. I don't know
that's
how that is a thing that we can do, but great, let's keep doing it. Mark Maskey of the Washington Post is going to join us at 11 o'clock today. He, with Liz Clark and Les Carpenter, is working on the story for the Washington Post that's still developing, that three of the Redskins' minority owners want out of the organization and supposedly want to sell their stakes in the team. What does that mean for Dan Snyder? Could it lead to him having to buy them out? Can he take on 100% of the team at this point financially? We can ask Mark about that. Plus, a Redskins historian, Mike Richmond, who wrote the encyclopedia on the team, can join us at 11:30. I want to talk about, you know, the beginning of the team name Redskins and whether or not he's surprised with all the research and work he's done on the team name over the years that this is all coming down so quickly, because it has been a meteoric last few days for the folks that want to see this name changed. I mean, Danny, we didn't get necessarily into yesterday the emotion of the fact that it's going to happen, and yeah, whether you want it to or you don't, the history will be rewritten forever. And it is going to change some of the memories. It's not going to take away those moments with your dad or my mom watching games by any means. But it is going to alter the way we look back on our past. There's no doubt about it. And I was on the phone with someone yesterday, and I was holding Madam President, 14 months old. And it hit me when I told them. I said, yeah, she'll never even know the Redskins. She'll know, and I said, the Red Tails. I mean, who knows what it's going to be. But she's not even – like, it's going to be like me talking about the St. Louis Browns, kind of. When someone says, yeah, the Orioles came from St. Louis, that's what the name Washington Redskins is going to be to babies and kids and children that don't have memories of these moments yet.
Yeah, my 2-year-old will have no file. My 6-year-old barely has one, and he just never cared. Like, I tried every trick in the book. I tried every, you know, end run, every reverse, every sort of, you know, bribe, coaxing, whatever. Just could not get into the team. And just sort of never understood why I cared, because they lose a lot and it's not that much fun. And I'm basically hoping that like one or two guys on the field turn out to be pretty good so they can be building blocks for the next coach or whatever. I mean, he just never saw it. It never appealed to him. Other stuff did. Like he wanted to go to Wizards games, even though they weren't particularly good. Obviously, the Nationals excited him. Capitals a little bit to some degree. But none of his friends cared about the Redskins. But they all cared about the Nationals or, you know, a soccer team from some city they'll never visit. But they never cared about the Redskins. Nobody in his school, none of his school-age kids did. This will die out. And, you know, I understand there are bigger fish to fry. I understand our society. I get what's happening. I'm not blind. I'm not just, you know, digging a trench and then hiding in it. I'm not crazy. I understand why everything's happening. And, you know, get on board, get out of the way. I'm just saying there's something that kind of makes me wax nostalgic about that. That's all. That's all I'm saying. I'm not trying to justify anything or put anything over. I'm simply saying there's a whole bunch of kids right now in Washington, D.C., which would have been unfathomable when I was these guys' age, I'm still friends with a lot of guys that I met when I was the age my son is right now. And we all loved the Washington Redskins, and we all watched Redskins games religiously. And that's what you did. In Mr. O'Connor's first period math class in seventh grade, he spent the first 30 minutes talking about the Redskins game with our class, and then we would get to the mathematics lesson. It mattered so much. It doesn't matter to this whole generation. Parents of a lot of these kids are walking away too, and now the name's gone. Again, I get it. I'm fine. I'll be okay. I'll root for the DC team, whatever you call them. I'll root for them. But man, it's just a little weird. That's all.
Yeah, and I think you can simultaneously be either supportive of changing the name or okay with it. I think those are two different things. I think there are people who want the name changed, who would make a sign and go stand out front of the stadium. And then there are people who are, frankly, more like me, who wouldn't do that, but who say, yeah, change the name, no problem. I completely understand. And you can feel that way, and you can also still even be sad or disappointed that the name that you knew as a child or that the team that you grew up with your parents and their parents grew up with them, that's different. And it doesn't mean that you're sad that necessarily the name is changing or that we've advanced societally or whatever's happening, whatever this awakening is. It just means something that you knew is different. If they change what a soda can looks like and it's no longer the soda can you drank for 25 years, you're going to have a feeling, a nostalgic emotional reaction to that possibly. I don't think that that's that crazy. Oh, by the way, the Nats schedule is out. I don't know if you saw it yesterday, but they open up at home with the Yankees. We knew that, three games before playing a couple more interleague games against the Blue Jays at Nats Park in week one. We are, if baseball actually happens, which is now in jeopardy because Major League Baseball has completely botched this testing situation, 16 days from the start of the season, Thursday, the 23rd of July, Max Scherzer and Gerrit Cole, Yankees Nationals, on national TV. So we can run through the schedule at some point today as well. But next, let's get to the brand new, massive, record-breaking contract for Pat Mahomes. It is a good day to be the quarterback of the Chiefs. You're listening to Grant and Danny.
Just hung up the phone and got the actual contract. It is a 10-year deal, a 10-year extension, worth $450 million in the extension. The injury guarantee is $140 million. And so the 10 years and 450 combined with the 2 years he had remaining on the deal at $27.6 million bring the total value of the contract to about $476 million, .6, if we're going to add that on at that point in time. And the bottom line to this whole contract is, Kevin, it now becomes not just the richest contract in NFL history, but the richest contract in sports history.
Grant and Danny, welcome back. 106.7 The Fan. Danny, two seasons as a starter for Pat Mahomes, 31 games now. He's basically averaged close to 4,500 yards and right around 35 touchdowns. It is staggering, the numbers that he's put up over these last two seasons as the, not just MVP of the NFL in 2018, but a Super Bowl champion and a Super Bowl MVP in 2019. And superstar. You just heard the ESPN audio there from Adam Schefter. The Chiefs and Mahomes agreeing yesterday on a 10-year contract to tie him to Kansas City for 12 years because he had 2 years left that will remain on that deal. Maybe the funniest thing about all of this, so he gets a deal that could be worth $503 million. It's a record-breaking contract in all of sports. No athlete has ever signed a deal of this caliber. And his cap number this year is like $5 million.
Yeah, it's
they
nothing.
Did this not just to re-sign him, but because now they can re-sign the guy that they want to, their pass rusher, who's unbelievable. But what a staggering deal. I mean, I read about this for 2 hours last night or so, and at the end of it, I still couldn't really understand how this is going to work. It sounds like basically, they're going to rework this thing every couple of years to just update to what the cap is and the market dictates he's worth. But they both decided. In Mahomes' case, I want to be here. In the team's case, we've got the best guy. So for 12 years, no trade clause, little wiggle room for the team, he's going to be there.
And there were, yes, this is adults talking. This is like a lot of complicated language and nuance and cap escalators and cap percentage numbers and what's guaranteed money, but different types of bonuses and the different structure. You touched on it. His cap number for the next couple seasons, incredibly manageable, right? $5 million. And then it jumps up rapidly, but still $24 million for a guy of his caliber. Of course, you would absolutely do that. Then a $31 million cap hit in 2022. Then it starts to get unwieldy, as you're talking about. 42.5. Then you go down to 2027. It's a $59,950 million cap hit. So it's a near $60 million cap hit for Pat Mahomes. So you would think he's worth that because he's great, but you're also probably going to have to rework some things and hand him cash over cap and kick some things down the road, etc. But they wanted to keep their window open right now because their window right now is still wide open and available because they've got great players. They've got Travis Kelce. They've got Tyreek Hill. They've got a number of offensive weapons like Mecole Hardman and company. They just drafted the kid out of LSU at the running back spot. They've got plenty of options right now to keep this offense prolific. So they kind of extended, you know, Pat Mahomes to plant a flag in the ground saying, hey, you're our guy. But also, right now, it's pretty affordable to have Pat Mahomes as your starting quarterback. So their window with this current group is wide open.
Joel Corey will join us tomorrow at 11:30, who's the smartest capologist breaking down NFL deals, a former agent. We'll talk to him on the show to get all the details on how this is going to work. But, yeah, he's never going to see that $60 million cap number. They'll just rework the contract before that. What's fascinating about this, though, is, for me, I look at his deal compared to the shorter-term guaranteed money that seems to be the trend that quarterbacks are trying to get to. And this is a little bit of the opposite of that. I mean, this is more of the Bryce Harper contract where you look at it and you go, I don't know that you can call this deal team-friendly per se, but it certainly is in the short term. There's absolutely no doubt about that. And it's not particularly player-friendly in the sense that if he goes year-to-year a la Kirk Cousins or, you know, what Dak Prescott's looking at doing now, I mean, he's going to actually end up making probably a lot more money over the next 12 years. But if you tie his contract as a percentage of the salary cap, which it sounds like is, without putting that in the deal, what they're trying to do here, he's going to end up being just fine. He just signed a contract, of course, that the big numbers, and the numbers don't mean anything in the NFL, but it,
right.
Wow, is it astronomical. $503 million, $140 million in guarantees is unprecedented. The no trade clause, so he should be giddy. I saw a story in Kansas City last night that somebody who works at some liquor store or something had a order from a Kansas City Chiefs employee for like 6 bottles of Dom last night. And they're like, Mahomes must have got signed. And they started texting everyone. And that's one of the ways that the word got out that
that's
Mahomes
hilarious.
Had gotten his contract.
That is
with
so
the Chiefs.
Funny.
So they had a great celebration. And he should have. He didn't show up at work yesterday. I guess that whatever training he was doing with a bunch of his teammates. And they were giving him a hard time. Like, oh, you had to go to the bank, didn't you? And he texted him back, said, I'll be back tomorrow. But if you just look at the numbers since he took over as a starter, 89 touchdowns, number one, 10,602 passing yards, number one, 27 touchdowns, first, total QBR, first, yards per attempt, number one. A lot of that is that it's Andy Reid's offense and it's the Chiefs, and you mentioned all the weapons that they've got. Alex Smith, before he came to Washington, had a career year in that offense, but he was nothing like Mahomes. This guy's dynamic and prolific in a way that we just haven't seen with his arm strength and the tools and the athleticism out of the pocket, the creativity, throwing the passes with his left hand, Danny. I'm not sure that there's ever been a player like him in the NFL. I mean, he is kind of a designed in a laboratory video game-ish quarterback in a sport where you've got even, you know, we've talked for years about Cousins and all these other players, you know, Andy Dalton or Dak Prescott, who are a lot more programmed and kind of go through the process and make the throw where they're supposed to, and they're good players. This guy
is
just out there, and the game's moving so slow. For him, it's like he is still playing a high school-level game or something. It's wacky, and there's no one else like him in the league right now.
Yeah, you roll to the left, throw back across your body with a flick of the wrist, you know, 20-some yards down the field, hitting a guy on a crossing route. You know, there's no design or there's no offensive genius of Andy Reid that says, you know, scramble around, avoid contact somehow and run for, you know, 50 yards spinning into the end zone. You know what I mean? Like, none of that. I mean, the athleticism that he has, the balance that he has, he at times looks like the prototypical drop back quarterback, right? He's got that Montana. He's got that you know, whoever you want to pick, whether it's the guys you mentioned, like Matt Ryan, Brett Favre, just, you know, in the pocket doing wonderful things. He also has Trey Turner charging a ground ball when he's rolling around. You know what I mean? Like making throws from these weird angles like a shortstop, because that's what he was. And he came up with this incredible improvisational ability that, to me, is what makes people great. I think a lot of guys, not a lot of guys, let me back off. A handful of people can read the defense, throw the ball on time, when everything is right, move your offense and be pretty good. You mentioned some of them. There's nothing wrong with those guys. We lament that they're not superstars, incorrectly, in my opinion. There's a lot of really good players. The special, once-in-a-lifetime, lightning has struck, please just watch the greatness, happens every so often. This is that. Where he is, I don't care what offense he's in, he's going to break your back. It's going to be 3rd and 17, he's going to get a first down. It's going to be 3rd and 7, you think you got him bottled up, and he somehow scrambles for a first down for a back-breaking type play. When nothing is there and you can make something happen, not only something, but something great happen, that's when you're special. He's special. Lightning has struck. Please enjoy the greatness in Kansas City. I want him and Andy Reid to make music together forever.
Yeah, and you have a guy like this, you sign him, right? And you ask questions later and you figure the rest out. But it doesn't mean that you can't look at this from the team side as well. 10 years is a long, long time. I mean, sure, what were you doing in 2010? You know, what was I doing in 2010? And really, it's 12 years, because that's how long you've now committed to him.
That's
through
right.
The 2031 season. So go back to 2008 and ask yourself about the person you were, the decisions you were making, the things you were doing, how your body felt 12 years ago compared to now. The last 9 years of this deal, as you pointed out, I mean, his cap number is going to be undulating somewhere between like $42 million and basically $60 million. And it goes back and forth. It doesn't just keep climbing in a linear way on a staircase. But it won't end up being that necessarily, but they're going to have a lot of finagling and work to do. And it is going to be exceptionally restrictive in a way that no contract ever has before. So he needs to keep playing at this level. It's obviously a big risk, but it's one that you've got to take. Because at 24 years old, you know what Pat Mahomes is, what he's capable of being. It's a position where you got guys playing into their 40s. He'll be 35 when this contract expires, and there's no reason to believe necessarily that he won't still be a unique game-changing presence at that time. But just an absolutely astronomical number that stops you in your tracks when you hear it. And I'm sure we all had the same reaction yesterday, where you kind of look at your phone and you zoom in with your fingers and go, wait a second, $500 million. Surpassing, it's not even close, anything that we've seen in any sport with some of those huge guaranteed baseball figures. We're Grant and Danny. You are listening to The Fan. Mark Maskey of The Post on what's going on with the Redskins and Dan Snyder at 11. But speaking of which, there have been a couple of rumblings over the last day or so that this could all lead to Dan Snyder selling his team. You know, three owners, minority owners that no longer want to work with him, wanting out. The name change, which he's never wanted to do, being basically forced on him. Any chance that that happens? We'll get into that next on G&D on The Fan. Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. By the way, two more segments on the old Comrex so far, Danny.
It's unbelievable.
I feel like we got the opinions of four doctors, the MDs were you and me and Thommy and Dar yesterday, and we all gave this Comrex like a certain amount of time to live in the terminal illness that it has, and it just keeps living. You know, it was like, it's an awful analogy, but it had like 6 months or something, and it's been like a year now, you know, and you just keep checking
doctors
in.
Told me 2 weeks, and here I am 10 years later.
Just chugging along.
It's amazing.
I mean, if you count up the number of segments, now it could go again any second. I still have the same little red bar that I had yesterday. And at that point, we'll transition over to this app on my phone, which will be quite an experiment for all of us. But it's working, man. We're killing it every break for like 3 minutes, turning it back on. It's a wacky situation. But
it's like when we were in Richmond for training camp a few years ago and Dar's car couldn't go more than like 29 miles an hour.
I remember.
And he had to like pull over every 10 minutes and like give it a rest. And then like he'd go for 5 minutes and give it a rest. I didn't feel bad.
Desperately trying to get home.
Yeah, like I would have felt really bad, but he stole, I think it was a fry off my plate at the barbecue joint we were at, so I did not feel bad for him.
I felt bad for him.
I did until he stole the fry.
Well, it was a fry. if you think about it, like car trouble on 95 for an hour and a half versus one fry, it's probably not exactly.
No, it's not an even trade. No, it's not. But it was my fry, so I felt aggrieved.
Danny didn't speak to me for like the final 2 days we were down there after I stole the fry from him.
like he's only telling you what happened. It's kind of actually exactly what happened. Yeah, he's not joking.
Ah, fry. And it was my favorite thing that happened on the whole trip. So I think back to that. Like, there were probably successful things. I think we were in Jay Gruden's office doing interviews and all kinds of stuff. But just Dar grabbing that fry off your plate.
He ripped the fry from me. Ripped
it. Doesn't get a whole lot better. I was on the phone with someone yesterday, and they said to me that this is someone who's kind of plugged in NFL circles, and they said, what if Dan sells? I said, that's not going to happen. They said, what do you mean it's not going to happen? I said, well, someone was on our show, and that someone, by the way, was Rick Snyder yesterday, and he told us he thinks this is the beginning of a process that will end with Dan selling, and he doesn't have a timeline, but he thinks that it's kind of the beginning of the end for him. I said, well, what do you mean? And the case that they made was, listen, when your three minority owners won out, he said, selling 40% of an NFL team or small percentages of an NFL team is hard to do because you're now asking for someone to buy 40% of something they're going to have really no control over whatsoever. And we all know that working with Dan Snyder is not a picnic, right? But, you know, you go ask those three guys how much say did they have, how involved were they in decisions, if they wanted to do something different, whether it was change the name or something else. I mean, who knows, draft a player. Like, do they actually get to do anything? People don't even know their names. And yet, they're forking over millions and millions and millions of dollars, and Dan's asking them to cut percentages of checks every time he does something. But do you really have a whole lot to say? It was an interesting thought to me because the point was, can you find someone to buy 40% of this team right now? You know, with the pandemic and money, you know, at a premium at this moment, and I said, well, I'm not sure that you can. He said, so what if Dan has to buy him out? Can he carry 100% of the team financially? And I said, well, I have no idea. And the point was, is there a chance that he would have to sell? And I keep saying no, because I don't know about you, Danny. I just view Dan Snyder as a guy, and I know very little about him by his design, despite being around this team for 20-plus years now. Both of us kind of have been around the team day in and day out since 99. I've never interviewed the guy once. I've talked to him a handful of times for a minute at a time. But you tell me if you think I'm wrong. I think he's the kind of guy that he's not going to lose. He's not just going to pack up and walk away so that guys like you and I can talk about a new owner on the radio and how awful the 21 years of Dan were. I just think he's in this thing for the long run, and I can't imagine his ego allowing him to walk away. But there is a growing sentiment that maybe he would sell, that either you get tired of people talking bad about you or you get tired of losing, or maybe you can cash out right now before the team's worth less in a few years. What's your take on that?
I think he'll die owning the team. I do not understand this pulse that, well, maybe now he's going to sell. That's just wishful thinking to me. Again, he's been as bad as any owner in sports. He's up there with Jimmy Haslam, Donald Sterling, and James Dolan, among the worst owners that we have in all of sports. It's worth five times what he paid. It just by gross incompetence, just by terrible actions, by suing fans, by firing head coaches, by poisoning the waters, by pretending to be embarrassed, hiring somebody to come in and fix the problem, and then, you know, within 18 months, they're out too because whatever it is their fault. You can go McLuhan, you can go La Famina, you can go any of the million things that have happened where somehow, some way, it doesn't work out, and there's Dan going, whoopsie-daisy, I guess it was Mike Shanahan's fault this time. His entire worth, both emotionally, as a person, and then business-wise, is the Redskins. These other guys have other interests. They made their millions doing other stuff, and they're just kind of sitting there waiting, holding their investments while it goes up four times since they bought in 2003. He's so bad at what he does, they want out. He's not selling. I don't think there's any case to be made. Now, listen, you could freezing cold take this. You could play it and make fun of me. I don't care because I'll be outside doing spin kicks and tripods, butt naked in the street if he sells this team. They're not going to win with him. He's a loser. He doesn't understand what he doesn't understand. Every reasonable person on this planet, if they were embarrassed once and lost the way that he has once, would have gone, wait a minute, what do the good teams do? And done that immediately. We're 0 for 21 years. Still 0 for 21. Has never done it and never will do it because it's got to be his way. Surrounds himself with yes men, calls people in the Rolodex that tells him what he wants to hear. Everything that he is is the owner of the Washington Redskins. He doesn't get into cool clubs. He doesn't get to play golf at the right place. He's part of this elite fraternity of old rich white guys, for the most part, that like to hang out every year, and he wants to go to the meetings. He's never giving that up. He'll never, ever, ever give it up. Because, again, he has no expenses. He doesn't have to do anything. It's all, you know, billed to the Redskins, and all that happens is his net worth goes up and up and up and up and up, even as they lose and lose and lose and
lose.
But
what if it didn't keep going up and up and up and up? Because there's a financial element of this, and everything you just said is why I say that I kind of disagree, that I don't think he'll sell the team. I'm with you on this. But just to play devil's advocate and be curious to see what you guys think, we can open up the phones next at 800-636-1067. You've heard Rick Snyder on the station, who's been covering the team since way before Dan was here. No relation, spelled differently. You've heard various people come out and say this. And I was talking to someone, again, who's pretty plugged in, not just with the Skins, but the NFL yesterday, saying it's a possibility. They don't think it's crazy to think about that, that it's something, I mean, they were saying it's something that they think he will probably need to do at some point. But the financial side of this is you got three minority owners that want out. And it could be difficult to find someone to buy into 40% of your team at this point with the NFL trend not necessarily guaranteed to keep spiking. Not to mention that person is just essentially going to be a money man or a money woman, so to speak, that doesn't really get to do a whole lot. It's tough to find someone willing to do that. The team might be worth more today, they were speculating, than in 5 or 10 years. I don't know if you guys agree with that or not, but at 800-636-1067, you can give that opinion. And there is something, I think, to the fact that he does not want to change the name at all. This is a loss for him that is going to be demoralizing and backbreaking. The 20-plus years of basically nobody around town where you live saying nice things or liking you, at some point that's got to get old. He can keep himself surrounded with people who tell him what he wants to hear as much as he wants to. But, you know, owners that can't go out to eat or they can't walk through the concourse at their own stadium for fear of what people are going to say to them, that gets really old. 800-636-1067 is the number on Grant and Danny. Do you think there's any chance that Dan might think about selling this team at some point in the not-so-distant future? I'm Grant, he's Danny. You are listening to The Fan, and you can track us down on Twitter, at Grant H. Paulson for me.
At Funny Danny for yours truly.
Danny, you know what I was thinking about, too? How revealing would it be to look at the books for the Redskins for the last couple of years? I'm curious, from their apex, whenever you would guess that that was, in terms of money they were generating, to right now, how different that bottom line is. Know how profitable the organization is. And it's the Redskins, right? So they're making money. There's no doubt about that. But I think, I mean, how much, what percentage of that money comes from the shared revenues of the league and the TV deals? You look at ticket sales the last couple of years. Think about the money lost when people aren't at your stadium and no one's been going.
Mm-hmm.
Beer, food. Like, what Redskins merchandise is bought right now? And you think about some of the players, we were talking about the Pat Mahomes contract. Or Tom Brady now with the Bucks. I mean, who's been the highest-ranking Redskins jersey sold over the last couple of years? Now, maybe there will be an uptick and a spike with Chase Young. You know, perhaps Dwayne Haskins was a little bit of a jolt last year, but was he a top 50-selling jersey in the NFL? I'd have to look that up, but I doubt it. I mean, Norman or Kerrigan over the last 4 years or something like that, possibly? They haven't really had anybody that moved a whole lot of merch on a national level, let alone a local level. I would love to see, like, where is the money, other than the money you're just guaranteed because you're right. One of 32 NFL teams, where is it coming from right now? Because everything that you control that is done on a local level, I would think is way down, right?
It's going poorly. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how much you trust, and I'm not saying you personally, but one trusts these Forbes valuations and things like this. It's usually a pretty good indicator, and there's always revenue streams that I, you know, wouldn't necessarily consider and partnerships, and, you know, there's still interest. I mean, even though TV ratings have gone down precipitously, you're right, everything that he controls, you know, and I put that in quotation marks, meaning his local, his interest, his fandom, that's all down, every bit of it. It's all bad. Every number that you could come up with for the Redskins is bad, and yet that franchise valuation continues to skyrocket. I mean, 2014, they were terrible. It jumped up $700 million. It jumped up again when they were bad and, you know, in 2018. It jumped up again when they were bad last year. It's the nature of the league. It's the nature of this is the still the best game in town when it comes to the NFL.
But not as much as other teams have jumped up. Remember, they've been caught by more teams. There are teams nipping at their heels. So
yeah, they went from second at one point not that long ago.
Comparative to the other teams in the league.
No, of course not. And that's to your point that they've been run so poorly. He basically had the golden goose, and he's like cut off half the goose's body, and it's still laying eggs, but not at the rate that it was. So the idea that this team is going to lose value or something like that, it's A, the NFL, that's not going to stop. It's not going to slow it. Nothing will stop it. People want it to stop. It's not going to stop. But the second thing is you're getting a new stadium at some point. You're going to have a rebrand. You're going to have a relaunch. There may be a dip in the short term, but what better time to invest in an organization than right now? You know what I mean? Like this is the time for the rebrand. The last 21 years where he's been a disaster, really close to the last 30 years since they've actually been any good, this is all going to get washed away. New stadium. We might be back in D.C. at the RFK site. There's a lot of momentum all of a sudden for this new beginning. And the idea that he would give up on that, I don't buy it. I think you can old takes expose me. I think he dies as the owner of the Redskins.
If I had to bet, I would say he never sells either. But it's also something I've never really heard brought up until the last day or two. From people, fans have said, what if he sells the team? But from people who cover the team, from people who are around, and the part of this that gets me thinking a little bit, and again, I'm still adamantly in the camp that he will not sell, but it's the three minority owners. There are six people, for those of you guys that aren't plugged in on the ownership group, six total, involved in the ownership of the Redskins. Dan Snyder, his mother, his sister, and the three guys that went out. That's the list. So if they somehow check out and that 40% gets sold, it's now Dan, his mom, and his sister. Now, it'd be funny if they told him that they wanted out too because they can't deal with him anymore. I don't think that that's going to happen necessarily. Your family's probably going to ride with you. But I go back to a question, and I just can't answer it. It doesn't mean that the answer is he's got to sell. It just means this is a life I can't relate to, and I don't know what I don't know here. But I was asked directly the question. If they have a hard time selling those 40% of the stakes and Dan buys those guys out, can he financially carry 100% of the team, or does he need someone to buy in with him? And maybe you can always find a sucker. You can always find someone to do that. But I would think that the way that it was explained to me, if you're a minority owner for a sports team, you really have no say. And if you work hand-in-hand with someone who really respects you, a good buddy of yours, maybe you get a little influence. But is that the case with Dan Snyder? I'm not sure. I don't know that I get that feeling. I mean, there's something about that rapport and that relationship that these three guys don't like because they all reportedly won out.
Well, that's why I think this is the biggest story, okay? Because here's what you do. You get to go sit in the suite. You got no expenses. You got no problems. You get the prestige of being part of the ownership group, and you get invited to cool meetings, and you know, everybody knows who you are when you go to the owners' meetings in Arizona, or you want to fly in your private jet somewhere and play golf, and you get to go with the owner of this club. I mean, it's a good old boys club. That's what it is. It's one of the most exclusive clubs you can be a part of in the world. You do that for the prestige of being part of the ownership group, and you do it because, again, your investment has gone up four times. The fact that these guys are walking away from an investment that quadrupled over 17 years, anybody on Wall Street, anybody anywhere, with your 401k, when you're selecting your stock plan, whatever, if you get an investment that's going to go up four times what you paid for it over the course of 17 years, every single person on this planet would do that. The fact that they're walking away from that, walking away from it, what's basically a valuation cash machine, tells you everything you need to know. They're so sick and tired of how inept and incompetent Dan Snyder is that they want out. Forget about the money. They're going to your money will go up another 1.5 times over the next 2 or 3 years. They don't care about that. It's that extreme, and that's how terrible he is. Like this is the story to me, way more than a Redskins name change or more than kind of anything else that's going on with the team. The fact that these guys will walk away from an unbelievable investment because of how incompetent this guy is. It is the story.
I do wonder, because I think you're right, it's a massive story, but I wonder, Danny, if they feel like you do, with the conviction you do, that their money's just going to keep compounding and getting larger and larger and larger because they're good businessmen. I'm not sure. I don't know. I mean, global pandemic right now. The league will not make the money this year, obviously, because of the pandemic that it normally did. So it's not going to go up this year any. After that, I'm not sure. But I'd be curious to get their thoughts on that. I'll say this. Our buddy Guilo just tweeted us, at Grant H. Paulson, at Funny Danny, and he said, sell the team, no chance, he said, LOL. He said it'll have to be pride from him well after his time here is no longer. But what I wonder is, would owning the Washington Redhawks mean the same to him as owning the Redskins? That's what I don't know. Like, is there any – he was so adamant against changing the name. Is there any part of him that would say, this is not what I wanted to do? You guys made me change the name. You know, these folks that you talk about, these billionaire owners, they get their way every day, every hour of every single moment they're on the planet. When he's forced to change the name, is there any chance that he goes, this is not the team that I wanted to own? I don't know. I doubt that that would be a major issue for him. My point is this. A week ago, I would have said there's a 0% chance Dan Snyder would ever want to sell the Redskins. I'm just saying now that chance for me is probably non-zero, knowing what we know about the minority ownership group, the fact that they're changing the name. I'm keeping it in the single digits. I think he's going to be the owner when I die. I do believe that. But it's not non-zero. It's not zero anymore. It's become non-zero. We can ask Mark Maskey about this. He's done a lot of the heavy lifting on the reporting for the Washington Post, not just on the name change over the last few days, but also on these minority owners who want out. He covers the NFL and has, dating back to the 90s when he was covering the Redskins. Mark's next on Grant and Danny.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.